T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hour number 3 of the Rob Brown Show rolls on right now. This is ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. It's so good to be back with you on a Monday afternoon. I am Rob Brown, the great one, hashtag dad kicks, Lonzo at the controls this afternoon. Phone lines are back up and working. 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to be a part of the program. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can read it on the air. Texter says, something else I heard on another show this morning. The replay guy doesn't want to show up the on-field ump. If the ump isn't going to do his job, then he needs to find a different profession. Yes, this whole thing of, well, the replay ump doesn't want to make the field ump look bad. Well, then get him the hell out of that spot, because that's literally his job. His job is literally to point out when the on-field umpire is wrong. And I'm not mad at on-field umpires being wrong in super close calls. It happens. I am in the Braves-Philly game last night because it was clear and evident in real time that Alec Bohm never touched the dish. But even if we say that was an excusable on-field mistake, which I don't think that it was, guy had the best view in the damn stadium about it. But if the replay ump is not in a spot where he feels comfortable calling out the on-field ump for being wrong, then get him off the replay, because that's garbage. It's a joke. The next thing baseball needs to do, and so this is where this conversation goes from facetious to serious. The problem you have here is that the CBA has it worked out to where an umpire, is in charge of the replay. He is going to be an umpire that works alongside, you know, the on-field umpires. As far as I am concerned, baseball ought to have somebody who is not connected and doesn't even know the people that are umping the game on the field in charge of the replay, so that they have no problem saying, yep, he was wrong, overturn it, get it right, so that the game has some integrity. Because that Phillies win last night came with zero integrity. And that's where you lose me, Lonzo. All jokes aside, when the game's integrity is taken away because an umpire is afraid to make the correct call, that's where the game genuinely suffered. If you really enjoyed that game last night, which you should have, Freeman looked good, Acuna looked good, Bryce Harper looked good, Didi Gregorius looked good. You had the stars of the game putting on a damn show last night. And then none of it mattered. None of it mattered because the umpires decided they wanted to dictate the outcome, not the players on the field. That is where the integrity of the game suffers. And if the integrity of the game suffers, Lonzo, that, more than anything else, is how you lose fans. Look at the NBA. Look at the NFL. Their big collapses in viewership come when people feel the integrity of the game is under threat. And that's what happened last night.
But how do you fix it? And I get what you're saying. You bring in an outside source. But it's not a matter, I don't believe, that the replay official is afraid of repercussions. I think it's more like they don't want to throw their guy under the bus. You don't want to throw your buddy under the bus, and that means you can't look at something objectively. So I get your point. But are they willing to spend money to bring someone from the outside in? And then who's training them? And it will be the umpires training them, or will it be baseball, some higher up baseball official training them on what to look for. It has to be an umpire training them. So if they're trained by an umpire, then they're going to look at things the way these umpires look at it. And how are they going to see things any different?
That literally is my problem. That's literally what I'm saying.
And that's why you want to bring in the robots.
Yes, because I don't have to train a robo ump whether a ball is a ball or a ball is a strike. It's just programmed in. If the ball crosses the dish and it's from letters to stripe, then it's a strike. And if it doesn't, then it's a ball. You don't even have to get rid of the umpires. I was thinking about that over the weekend because I heard our promo about Skynet, which is hilarious. But I was thinking about that. You don't have to call the umpires off the field. They don't have to go anywhere. You can keep those umpires on the field. If the umpire is holding a little digital device, and if it buzzes once, he calls a strike, and if it buzzes twice, it's called a ball, and he can keep his eyes on the dish, and he can even ring up safe or out. And then you give each manager 3 opportunities per game to go to the replay, or 1 opportunity to go to the replay. And if they get the replay correct, they retain the challenge. And if they get it wrong, then they lose the challenge. And then there's a million ways.
Yeah, but the flaw in that is that was replayed last night, right?
And they got it wrong.
And they got it wrong. So chances are, just like in the NFL, when they went to that replay rule, which I said on the air they get rid of because they were never going to enforce it as far as pass interference goes, they're not going to overturn their own guys. They're not going to do that. So unless the robot umpires are in there and their call is final, whatever the robot umpire calls, it cannot be, you cannot protest it, right?
For balls and strikes, yeah, I think it's fine. Okay. You can program it to be a ball or strike, and it's going to be right 99.8% of the time.
So you won't be eliminating all the umpires. You're just going to lose what? How many umpires are on?
You got in MLB. You got 4 on the field.
All right, eliminating. So you're okay with eliminating 1 in 4 jobs?
Sure, if that's what it takes to make sure the game runs correctly.
It's heartless. Heartless, man.
Cool. Call me the Iceman. All right, call me the Iceman because I'm stone cold when I gotta be. All right. Just get it. Just get the damn calls right. That's it. Don't have what happened last night become baseball. And it's getting more and more frequent. Zoe asked last week, well, can you point where a game has been directly? Yes, I can do it twice now in a week. And both of them, by the way, Zoe, both of those games were National League East games, which means that as of now, there are 2 results in a playoff race in a very competitive division. 2 results were the Mets, a team that I expect to be hunting down an NL East championship at the end of the year, and the Braves, a team that I expect to be hunting down an NL East championship at the end of the year, both now have an L on the record that they don't deserve. Excuse me, the Nats. Both now have an L on the record they don't deserve. And the Phillies and the Mets both now have a dub on the record that they don't deserve. Well, I got to tell you, if the NL East is as tight of a race as I expect it to be down the stretch heading into pennant time, and the NL East comes out, what happens at the end of the year if the Atlanta Braves miss out on the NL East pennant by 0.5 game to the Philadelphia Phillies? Then we can point back to April 11th, 2021, and I will be able to say, Lonzo, remember when we had that funny argument about Skynet because the Phillies got a clear replay call in their favor and they won the game? Well, there's your half game, and the Braves are missing out on a pennant because of the Philadelphia Phillies getting a dub. I'm not saying the Braves would have won that game. It's still a 6-6 game at that point. I'm not saying they would have won, but I'm saying they deserve to win or lose the game, not the umpires.
So any of the other games that they just flat out lose, those won't be the ones that cost them. It would just be this particular game will cost them.
Same argument. I had a dude last night on the Twitters. That said, well, there were 7 or 8. The Braves shouldn't have given up the lead. The Braves shouldn't have had this error. The Braves should have. Yeah, and that's all well and good. But see, here's the thing. They made all those mistakes and still played well enough to win the game. That's a bad argument. just because of the fact that they had a three-run lead and gave it away doesn't mean that they deserve to lose the game by an umpire. They still played well enough to win the game. I go back to that Saints-Rams game from a few years ago. Yes, the Saints had a lead. Yes, the Saints blew the lead. Yes, the Saints gave the Rams the opportunity to score late in the game and take the lead. But does that mean that they deserved to lose because of a blown pass interference call? No, it's not what it means. They still did, even if they weren't perfect, they still did enough to win the game, and they did not dictate whether that was an L or a W stuck on the record. The umpire did. The referee did. Last night, the Phillies didn't do enough to win. They didn't do enough to win. They got gifted a dub by a dude in a blue polo shirt. The Braves didn't do enough to lose. They got handed the L by a dude in a blue polo shirt who does not play the game. That is my problem. That's where I have a problem. And again, if the Braves miss hosting a playoff series by half a game to the Phils at the end of the year, I'm going to point back to today. I'm going to pull this segment from April 12, 2021, and we're just going to listen to it on a loop for an entire 3 hours about how Rob Manfred could fix this problem with two phone calls and refuses to do it because we don't want to hurt the poor widow umpire's feelings, do we? We don't want to hurt that little snowflake feelings. Get out of here with that weak garbage. I don't give a damn if Angel Hernandez's feelings are hurt. If you don't want your feelings hurt, get the calls right. It's not that tough. Quick break. I'm in a great mood, Lonzo. How's your Monday going, buddy?
I'm alive, man. You can't hurt me.
Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News, our PG Insider, joins us next to talk a little Masters. Then we'll break down WrestleMania's final results. After that, Twitter trending topics to wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Lonzo, you, this is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hideki Matsuyama brings the green jacket back to Japan. Plenty of incredible Japanese golfers over the years, but Hideki Matsuyama is the first to score a green jacket. A phenomenal Sunday, and to break down the Masters in the rearview mirror, we go now to the phone lines and welcome it from the Brunswick News, a fan of, or a friend of mine, who I am a fan of, Miss Savannah Lee, our PGA Tour insider, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Savannah, I kind of want to do the Masters again this weekend. Do you think we could just convince everybody, stick around, let's do it one more time?
Please, because I'm already sad. Like, I'm counting down the days until I have the RSM Classic here in the Brunswick Isles, but, like, the Brunswick Isles, the Golden Isles. But I wish we could do the Masters all over again. Someone tweeted, like, can we do it every 6 months? That seems pretty good for me, and I have to agree.
I'm down for a fall and spring Masters every. That was incredible. And one of the things that I loved about it, and maybe this is just me, Savannah, but the longer we play, I mean, we talked about on Thursday how there was a little brown to the greens that we weren't used to. Reports from Augusta were that the ball was rolling and bouncing incredibly, reacting to the greens very harshly. And there was a part of me on Sunday. I had a little socially distanced master's party, and I was talking with a buddy of mine about it. And I said, it almost seemed to me, with as many guys that were playing out of the thick stuff, which seemed a little longer than usual, the greens were, I mean, we saw plenty of guys putting balls off the green into the water. It almost kind of seemed like the folks at Augusta put a middle finger up to the tour guys that complained about how Augusta wasn't all that tough in the fall. And damn if it didn't make for an entertaining Sunday.
I think so. I mean, that right down the stretch, 16 or 15, 16, and 17, it could have gone any which way between Xander and Hideki. And Hideki thankfully hung on, and we got all that awesomeness from him celebrating and the whole bowing, his caddy bowing. I absolutely love that. But, yeah, I think Augusta National just said, you know what, guys? Try this. If you have something to complain about this, then you're just a complainer, because that course was in incredible shape. And then the rain hit and it made it just a little bit different. So that made them think just a little harder. And I love that. That's what I love the most about the Masters is you literally have to think about every single golf shot. I feel like there are some courses that you can just kind of get in a rhythm of thing. And by Sunday, you know the course well and you know which way you're going. But with Augusta National, I think it's almost a different course. And if you do it every 6 months, it would even be a more different course, because in the fall it would be a lot easier, and then in the spring they could dry it out and have it a lot harder. And so that's why it's just Augusta National is just like at the top of everything in the world, and it's just it's perfection.
I will say this, because you know on Saturday we had that weather delay. There was some rain. I don't know how bad the rain got, because CBS kind of cut away from it. They went back to the 2019 Masters, which was great to watch that back nine from Tiger when he was laying it back down in the year where he got his final green jacket, or at least final as of right now. So they put there was a little rain that came down on the course. And I wonder how much that came into play. Phil was having a really good day on Saturday, but that was before the rain. I wondered if that rain on Saturday late afternoon didn't kind of help the golfers out a little bit on Sunday, because Sunday didn't seem quite as extreme. We did still see Xander putt off and end up with that triple on 16 that cost him contention, but we saw guys like Will Zalatoris and a few others make a late charge at Hideki Matsuyama. I got to think that they kind of got bailed out by that Saturday rain shower a little bit.
I think the rain helped the course, take in a little bit of moisture, which gave him a little bit more of a challenge that late round. And I think Hideki handled it incredibly. He came out, I think he said he was sitting in his car scrolling through Facebook or some kind of social media or something. And then he came out guns blazing, and he just handled that course like it was nobody's business. And I don't necessarily know. It might have carried over into Sunday. I don't know how much they dried it out overnight, or if they turned any of the airifications or whatever that they use out there are. But I thought sometimes the guys thought it was going to roll a little bit further, because it had done that earlier in the week, and then it kind of came up short. Will Zalatoris had a couple just like that. And just to think, if those actually fell in, we possibly could have had a playoff. And so I think that goes back to me talking about how different it is and how just a little bit of rain. I think, we got hit pretty hard down here in the Golden Isles, so I don't know how much of it trailed up to Augusta, but it rained a good chunk. And so it definitely made a difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've got a listener, our buddy Brandon from down in Florida, chiming in here on our live stream saying, looked to him like the green slowed down after the rain. There were a lot, and I noticed this as well, a lot of putts that some that were rolling off the green on Thursday, Friday, and early Saturday started coming up a foot short or two on late Saturday and on Sunday. And I think it was because of that rain. But I think that's one of the things that makes the Masters especially, but really golf in general at the professional level so much fun, is that any given environmental change can change the way that Augusta National plays. And to me, mm-hmm. It made Sunday that much more fun and that much more competitive.
Oh, I agree. Cause I didn't really necessarily know how the course was going to play. And it also comes into play of how good Hideki's nerves were. And if we found out he had nerves of steel, even when he, had a slip up down the stretch a little bit, he rallied and made sure he didn't have any more mistakes. And like I said, you have to be able to think every single time you get on that course, every single hole, you're having to think about it and making sure you're hitting it in certain places. If you do, if you don't hit it in that certain place, then you have to make sure you're hitting a different kind of shot. I love Augusta because I feel like that's what golf is all about. It's being artistic with your golf shots. It's being artistic with how you have to putt things, and throwing a little weather in there just makes it a little more interesting. And without the big hat on Sunday, I felt like it was just what we needed to kind of have that, you know, kind of feel, not of knowing, and then the drama down the stretch, it all just kind of played in together, and I really enjoyed it.
Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News, our PGA Tour insider, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So Sunday we see Hideki Matsuyama. We've talked about it, that there have been a ton of very good Japanese golfers over the years. We have seen some spectacular Japanese golfers dating back to some that were having competitions with the likes of Arnie and Jack back in the day, but Hideki brings the first one back to Japan. And you could see, despite the fact, Savannah, that down the stretch, I mean, he was all business. They got to 14-15. He saw that Xander Schauffele was in the back pocket. William Zalatoris was in the back pocket. Those guys, I mean, all they needed was him to edge a couple of bogeys on 15 through 18, and there was potentially a playoff coming. But he was in the absolute zone. But when he got off of 18, and you mentioned his caddy taking the bow to Augusta, which I thought was an incredible moment, and he got that green jacket on, you could see the emotion that makes Augusta the very special tournament that it is.
Yeah, I think we talk about this every time you bring me on, is I absolutely love when they get emotional and they get choked up. It just shows how much it actually means to him, especially Hideki kind of coming full circle 10 years later, almost to the day, and him being able to do that for his country, not just himself. And Max Homa was talking about how he has a hard time playing for himself, much less an entire country. So the fact that he could carry that weight on his back and make it happen was truly incredible. And then I absolutely love the artistic decision by, or creative decision, whatever you want to call it, by CBS to keep it on his caddy when he was putting the flag back in the hole, because that bow, it just kind of signifies what the Japanese culture is all about. It's respect, and it's not just other golfers, but the golf course as well. And how it, you know, they gave it respect, and I feel like it gave them respect back by allowing him not to, you know, found any other mistakes down the stretch. I'm not a huge Japanese golf person. I've just never really educated myself, but now that I've read some more on Hideki and his kind of a story and how much it means to Japan and global golf now, I am absolutely a ginormous fan, and I love what it's going to do, because all it is going to do is grow the game even more. And that's kind of what I've been enjoying learning in the last 2 years, is how much people are trying to grow the game, and now it's going to be growing globally, not just here in the Americas. And who knows, we could have another Masters champion, young Masters champion in Japan training right now, because he saw Hideki win. Like, it's just going to give him that much more confidence. And the PGA Tour is all about playing against the best in the world, not just in America, but in the world. And I think that's what Hideki proved, is like, we're here from, you know, overseas, and we're here to, you know, compete and play. And I absolutely love it, because I love a good competition. It just fires you up.
Yeah. You know, he mentioned in the post round presser that he was hoping to kind of do for Japan and for East Asia what Tiger did in his prime, and inspire another generation of kids to get involved and to take to golf courses and find that love for the sport the way that I did because of Tiger Woods years ago, the way that so many of us did. Mm-hmm. I know you've mentioned that you're in that group as well, but I think that's very well said, because, you know, we get on Sunday and we're looking at an American, we're looking at an Aussie and Leishman, we're looking at, you know, Justin Rose took a 4-stroke lead into Saturday, a Brit. I mean, we have folks from around the world who show up and show out for this tournament and what it means. And it shows me that not only is golf one of the most important games globally, culturally, but that there is absolutely a future of young people from around the world who want to carry on that tradition. And Augusta helped once again continue that build yesterday.
I think so, because I think Bobby Jones and the founders of Augusta National, yeah, Arnie, all of them are looking down and are just smiling from ear to ear, because they are seeing it grow and they are seeing it expand. I mean, you talk about Hideki, you talk about Leishman. I don't know how many people picked Rose, and then you also go follow in with Will Zalatoris and him being on the Corn Ferry Tour. I saw Will 4.5-5 months ago with the RSM Monday qualifier. He didn't make the qualifier, so he didn't even get in. And, like, the grind that these people who are leading the field this week, it just goes to show how much people love this game, and you know, like you were talking about it growing, and I think that people are seeing how hard they're working. That I can do it too. If Will Zalatoris is on the Corn Ferry Tour, and he just got a shot, and he played one of the best weeks of golf of his life, which he still felt like he could have more out there, which I love. I love his sweat. Anyway, moving on, not to get on a tangent about him, but like they're seeing that grind, and they're seeing that anything can happen if they put their mind to it. And I think Hideki is a great story for that, because he has worked hard for years and years, and it's finally come full circle for him. And so I hope he just, you know, revels in this moment and just, you know, takes it all in. And if I was him, I would not take that green jacket off for like the next year.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, the winners at Augusta, they get to hold on to their green jacket for 1 year or until the next tournament. I think DJ got shortchanged. I think he was only able to, he had to bring his back after 5 months. But Hideki will wear his outside the club for a year. Then it gets stored in his locker at Augusta moving forward in the champions locker room. Savannah, overall, I thought phenomenal tournament. I thought it was exactly what golf needed. I think exactly what we needed as a nation, but really as a global golf community, coming out of the pandemic, to have that event go off as smooth as it did. Patrons back on the course, it was not the enormous overwhelming crowds that we're used to, but on Sunday, I mean, there was a hefty amount of people wrapped around 18 as Matsuyama made his walk down the fairway towards his green jacket. Overall, I thought it was phenomenal. Final thoughts on what we saw out of Augusta this weekend from you?
I absolutely loved it. I think you're exactly right. It's what this nation and what this entire world needed. We all needed to come together. And who would have thought that it would have been a golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia to do that? But Tokyo was watching, and children at 8 o'clock in the morning were watching him win before they go to school. And then you have the ones here watching in the afternoon. Like, I don't think it matters where you were on Sunday. If you were a golf fan, you were glued to the TV, and that's what it's about. And I thoroughly enjoyed the tournament. I didn't know how it was going to be without Tiger. It felt weird even throughout Sunday. I was like, I'm waiting to see that red shirt. I'm waiting to see that red shirt. But at the end of the day, it was a tournament that was needed. It was a tournament that went off without a hitch. And I think we saw a bunch of guys prove that there's some forces, and that there's a lot of good golf to come in the next few months. I wish we could have another one in 6 months in April or in November again, because I just think that's what the atmosphere around the Masters does to people. It brings them together. It makes people want to be around each other and cheer regardless of what country that golfer is from. And the fact that he got as big of a roar as he did from the patrons that stayed Sunday just goes to show you how much sports is crucial to this country and to this world, and how much it just feels so good to hear that. And regardless of what country he's from, he got that roar, and I think that's probably what kind of set him over the edge. I know it was winning too, but like being able to have acceptance from a bunch of Americans, I mean, that's got to be the ultimate like compliment and respect as well. So I have no complaints outside of a few fashion choices, but we won't go there. I absolutely love the 2021 Masters, and we already count, like, what, 364, 363 days left?
A lot of tournaments between here and Augusta, but I'd be lying to you to tell you that I wasn't ready for the next Masters. Savannah Lee joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Follow her on Twitter, @SportsGirlSL, @SportsGirlSL, a must-follow if you are a golf fan. Savannah, it was a phenomenal weekend. Enjoyed it very much. A couple of weeks away from the next big tournament. We got our next major just around the corner, so we'll be talking to you again real soon.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thanks, Rob.
Always. Savannah Lee, taking away. She's in the process of moving right now and took away from, I don't know when's the last time. I've moved like 4 times in the last 2 years. It sucks. It's the worst. And she took time out of that day to come on and join us. Appreciate it very much. Quick break. Back after this. Very quick rundown of night number two of WrestleMania, then Twitter trending topics. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate. So real quick, and we're going to get more in depth in this as the week progresses. But I will put it very simply. Night number one of WrestleMania was fantastic. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair did exactly what I thought that they would do and put on a heck of a show. That hair whip from Bianca was freaking devastating. That crack that Sasha took rang throughout Raymond James Stadium, which was very impressive. Night number two, not so much. It was not nearly as good, although they did save it. That triple threat with DB, Christian, and Roman was every bit as good as we had hoped that it would be. It had some crazy spots in it. Overall, I would say WrestleMania solid, probably a B from me. There were some spots that saved it, probably a B minus, maybe even C plus if it wasn't for that main event to end it last night.
The main event absolutely saved it.
Stole the show.
There was potential during the Randy Orton and the Fiend thing, and they ruined that. And starting out with Asuka versus tag on it.
Rhea Ripley.
I'm trying to forget her name on purpose because
rude.
She botched like crazy, and it was a bad match. I don't know if there's just no chemistry between them, and they're going to put the belt on her anyway, even as bad as it was, but I thought it could have been better. And I don't know if she just got caught up in the moment and the fact that the fans were back and stuff. And I think
I wouldn't be shocked about that. Not to interrupt, but I wouldn't be shocked about that, Zoe, because remember on night number one when they had what's-her-face singing America the Beautiful, Rhea was on stage and she was like looking out at the crowd and she was crying on stage. So I think the emotion absolutely got to her.
Yeah, that's what we've seen her wrestle better.
And her NXT matches have been gold.
But there were a couple matches that were like that on this night. It's like night one, because of the rain delay, which I was happy about because then
you got to see more of it.
I got home and started watching in the middle of Cesaro and Seth Rollins,
which was also fantastic.
So I saw just about every match night one, then I watched the two that I missed yesterday morning. So, but night one was so phenomenal. And you got to think, so there's pressure for the guys on night two to have to deal with what they saw the night before, plus fans being back. So I think that comes into play. As far as Randy Orton and The Fiend, the writing there was
garbage.
We'll see. Maybe they can fix it tonight.
Here's my thing. I heard that, right? And I get it. And I'll even go so far as to say that I think there's the potential for a phenomenal story to be told there about Alexa.
It was pretty creepy. She was pretty creepy.
It was. And the stuff coming out of the crowd. I mean, look, visually, it was incredible. I had no issue with the direction that they might go. And they may even tell a good story. But you don't do it that way. You don't spend 5 months building up the return of the Fiend as this invincible 80s slasher bad guy monster to then have him eat an RKO and lose. All right, even if you have the best story WWE's ever told lined up for him and Alexa moving forward, cool. You don't do it that way at WrestleMania in his moment. You could have had him destroy Randy Orton and then have Alexa do her thing and end up messing with the Fiend. You could have had Randy come back after he eats an L to get his RKO revenge. You could have done it a million ways. WrestleMania is supposed to be the bookend, so it's supposed to be the moment where the story hits its crescendo, and instead you're like, hey, remember that whole thing about Randy Orton and the Fiend? It was really irrelevant because now Alexa bleeds from her head. Cool.
Well, there's a couple things. For one thing, did you notice that Backlash is now called WrestleMania
Backlash? Yeah, I saw that.
And maybe that has something to do with it. And the fans booed.
As they should.
Yeah.
I booed. Yeah. I was by myself on my couch, and I audibly booed the TV.
And they cut it off real quick and went to
Of course they did.
And they should have booed. They absolutely should have. You know, enduring and waiting to see a storyline paid off, and that's what you got.
Yeah.
Whereas the visuals,
You know what it was though? It was Game of Thrones season 8. That's what it was. You spent all this time getting me invested in this story with a character I'm genuinely intrigued by, and then at the end, you just have him go, nah, shank the main character and end it. It was Game of Thrones season 8 bad.
You know, but one thing, speaking of fans, one thing that I noticed, and my daughter mentioned this too, you catch yourself watching the fans and not watching the matches because it's so cool to see fans back there. to see the fans back watching wrestling, to see it live, see the audience reactions. And I just, a lot of ignoring the match and just looking at the fans in the background and seeing, are they really into it? And it's just so cool to have them back. It really was.
No, absolutely. And listen, I thought some of the cinematic matches were good. I'd expect in the future that we'll start seeing some. In fact, I honestly thought that that would be a good spot to have kind of a cinematic take. Like, you could have them start the match in the ring, have them pull the Alexa Voodoo to warp them somewhere else for the Fiend to do his stuff, and then still tell that story. But on top of that, again, you know, for the past year, they've just been doing whatever they want because they haven't had the fan interaction to gauge whether fans in real time are liking it or not. But for them to boo that way, by the way, also enormous audible over the TV boos for Hulk Hogan when he came out, which I was just in love with. I'm hoping that maybe it'll kind of push for some different decisions to be made, but I was.
He looked good as a pirate, though. He shouldn't have. He looked good as
so
a pirate.
Ridiculous.
Titus looked excellent as a pirate.
I can't even tell my favorite joke from the night, but it was very funny. I don't know, man. I hate to say it, but putting that match first, they set. You've talked about this in the past, though, about how if you go into something with a negative mindset, it can impact your final decision before you even see the product. I was so disappointed with how they ended that story and began another one with that character that it kind of set me up to be prepared to be disappointed for the rest of the night, too. And the only thing that bailed it out was D-Bry, Roman, and Edge putting on a freaking 4.5-star match in the main event. Everything from the Fiend until the main event to me was just very meh, and I think they did it to themselves because I don't think the rest of those matches would have been meh. But I was already in the mindset of, dude, I'm going to dislike this because you took the most compelling story that you had in the game and you ruined it for what? For what?
Yeah,
it's WrestleMania. This is not continuing night. This is where you hit the final chapter and start new stories.
I think you hurt the other wrestlers for the rest of the night, including the Logan Paul getting stunned should have gotten a bigger pop than what it did.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of the fans there were like, really? They're still going over why? You know,
dude,
and if you're thinking about that match, not thinking about the match you're watching, well, for negative reasons, then you've hurt the product going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. There were some bad moments in it, but Natalya, Tamina, Nia, and Shayna put on a respectable match, but I was still so turned off by the end of the Fiend thing. I was just kind of like floating through Twitter while they were getting that match on, which probably could have been a pretty good one, and I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter because I just really didn't care at the moment, which is unfortunate. So it was if nothing else, it was unfair to those four women. Quick break. Back after this, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. Twitter Trending Topics abbreviated version next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
All right, it's time for Twitter Trending Topics abbreviated version. So I got to bring him up.
It's just Twitter Trending Topics.
It's an abbreviated version. All right, I just want to say really quick, Ginger Assassin. Because it was taken from me earlier, so I'm saying it again. All right, we
really should talk before the show, Lonzo.
it's all right, you know, great minds and all that kind of thing, or whatever we are. The first thing trending is Conor McGregor.
First off, somebody on the text line just referred to Christian as the rated R superstar. And that makes me laugh it's much
edge,
harder than
by
it
the
should
way,
have.
Not Christian,
or Edge, sorry. Yep, yeah. Sorry. Edge, of course, is over on the Superior Show. Who do we? Oh, Connor. Why is Connor? I don't even know why Connor's trending.
Apparently he had told Dustin Poirier that he was going to give some money to Dustin's charity, and he never did. So Dustin called him out on it.
Nice.
And so Connor has a Connor rant, which I can't read online.
Shocking.
Inbred is one of the first portions of it, so that should tell you should look it up. But he says the fight is off. So I don't believe it, but that's what he says.
What a turd! Wow. Yeah, I guess we're talking about that tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.